I believe that any time, well, shoot, man, just life, we've got to learn to rest in Him. And you can do that in the midst of intense busyness, a lot of activity and all that. So anytime we come in here should be a time of refreshing. So I want you guys to come in, just get refreshed when y'all come into victory, all of us. I know it refreshes me. So we just want to come in. We're going to be in Proverbs tonight, which is a not somewhere I usually teach out of. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, we'll get started in that in just a second. Y'all remember us next week, if all you guys will. We're leaving Saturday to go to Honduras on a mission trip. So we'll be down there. We're building some houses, doing food ministry and some of that stuff. So y'all just remember, I think there's 18 of us from the church going. So y'all remember us while we're down there. James will be taking care of y'all next Wednesday night. I know he always brings a great word. So y'all are in good hands. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. And, man, we'll just see what the Lord has for us tonight. Sharon, you want to lead us tonight, sister? All right. I felt a kind of a shift from the Lord from what I had originally intended with the thrust of this. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to really come in and kind of just share with you guys. Not that I'm trying to exclude anybody, but yesterday was mine and Lori's anniversary, our wedding anniversary, and it was 36 years. Anytime I have a anniversary or something that's a significant day, significant moment or something like that, it always causes me to reflect, which I think it should. I think as we have these memorials, as we have these anniversaries, they are designed for us to reflect. And, you know, a lot of people come in and they look at us and the fact we've been married for 36 years, and they're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, it's kind of a foreign concept. You know, there's probably a good chance half the people in this room have grown up in a broken home, just if the statistics bear out. And the world finds it unusual for something like us to happen where we've been married for 36 years and not just cohabiting for 36 years or enduring each other for 36 years, but actually having an amazing marriage. You know, a lot of people, they'll kind of hang in there because they don't want a divorce is too aggravating and they've got a really sucky marriage. And, you know, ours is amazing. Ours is fabulous. And the world looks at us and it's almost like we're a freak of nature. And as I reflect on this, you know, the things that are kingdom are foreign to the world, but it should be very natural to us. It would be unnatural for me not to be, and I cannot imagine being anything other than what I'm in right now. So we live in this, man, I don't know how to articulate this, but we live in this world where it's almost like, the things that are unnatural to the world is supposed to be our groove. It's supposed to be our sweet spot. It's supposed to be where we live. And anything that is not totally kingdom and amazing and all of that should be foreign to us. And I was really just, you know, I was going to release this word Sunday and, you know, just share some things Sunday. And we just had an amazing service Sunday. It was awesome. We had several messages from different people that had a word from the Lord. And it was just, the worship was great. The ministry was really good. And so I didn't get to preach Sunday, which was cool. I like it when Holy Spirit just takes over. But I really want to come in tonight and looking and reflect. And I just kind of want to declare some things and then kind of go a little bit. And I want to talk about the difference in being in relationship with this and being in relationship with Him. Because a lot of times, and you say, man, how can that be? That's, you know, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. Actually, it says in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. But it says later on, it says the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus, and so we look at this and we say, "This is God." And a lot of times, people will get in relationship with this, but won't be in relationship with God. You can do that. And I believe the thing that makes it so difficult for people, and the reason that people can't continue to run the race, that they can't continue to live the life. I mean, I'm here today to declare to every one of you guys and everybody here, kingdom living works. Kingdom living works. Kingdom relationship with God. Y'all hear me call Him Yahweh. You know, Father God, Jehovah God, you know, Jesus Christ. Kingdom living absolutely works, guys. And, you know, if I have anything to share with anybody, and it doesn't matter where, that's the stump I get up on. That's the drum that I beat. And it doesn't matter who I'm around. I can be in foreign countries and talking with people, and I can be people that have absolutely nothing, and I can be talking to people that are multimillionaires. And we're around a lot of different people. Lori and I travel a good bit. We go to different hunting and fishing lodges and stuff like that in different places and different countries. And we're around a lot of people that have been successful in life, but they get all the bumps and the bruises and all the knocks of the world and all that stuff. And if there's anything I can tell them, it's not that, oh, I pastor a church or this or anything like that, but it is that relationship with God and kingdom living is the separating thing between somebody living a successful life or a nominal life or anything like that and living a rewarding, full, amazing life. And it all comes down to relationship with Him and kingdom living. And that's it. I look at so many people, and I, you know, you look at the statistics, and unfortunately, the statistics in church concerning marriage and different things like that, and statistics in the world, there's not much difference in the two. You know, I come in, and you are around church. You know, I've been doing church my whole life. I was raised in church. A lot of you guys, I'm gonna share my testimony a little bit. A lot of you guys, y'all don't know who I am other than I'm just Pastor Sid. And are y'all okay if I kind of share my testimony and some of this with these guys? Y'all, Victory, y'all know who I am, but a lot of these guys don't. But I grew up in church. My dad was a deacon, and it was one of those where I was there every time the doors was open, and I believed in God. I believed in the Bible. I believed in biblical principles. I understood. I had it modeled in front of me. And I had, as a kid, I had a relationship with this. But the only problem with a relationship with this is I couldn't do it. I'd try real hard. You know, as a kid, I'd try real hard. And I'd feel the presence of God. And I knew what the presence of God looked like. And I knew what it felt like. You know, and then I would come in as a teenager, and, you know, I was so double-minded. I was trying to live two lives, you know. I was in church on Sunday, and then, you know, Friday and Saturday night, I was out, you know, smoking weed with the guys and, you know, doing all the typical stuff you did in the, you know, in the mid-70s. You know, I know most of you guys are too young, but some of y'all might can relate, you know, all the stuff. And I had this, you know, this dual person going on and all of that stuff. And it wasn't that I was, You know, people say, well, you're just being hypocritical. I really wasn't a hypocrite. I just couldn't do it. Because I really tried hard. I really tried hard. You know, I'd go to youth camp in the summer and man, just get, you know, wrecked and be in the good revival services and just get wrecked. Can any of y'all relate? And I tried because I knew this was, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I tried to do that. And I believe that. And the Lord, as I get older and I go down this journey more, the Lord showed me, He said, you had a relationship with this, and you had a relationship with this, but you didn't have a relationship with me. And that's the reason I couldn't do it. Because I knew what it said. I knew what the Gospel of John said. I knew what the Psalm said. I knew what the Epistle said. I knew what Romans said. I knew what the Romans Road said. And Lord, I can't tell you how many times, man, I would get an altar and cry my eyes out and say, Lord, I'm sorry and forgive me and I'm going to do better next week. And mean it. Generally mean it, man. You know, it wasn't crocodile. I meant it. But I just couldn't do it. And the reason I couldn't, because this is all I had a relationship with. And I met Lori, and so you know, I fell in love with her. And we were young, man. I mean, I was 18, and she was 15, and we started dating. And we dated for 3 years. Basically, we waited till she graduated high school so we could get married. And you know, so you can do the math and tell how old we are. But, you know, when I started dating her, man, I started trying to do better. And really get it together, you know, and clean it up. I mean, a lot of times we try to get it together for somebody else, don't we? You know, sometimes we'll try to get it together for a spouse or a girlfriend. Sometimes we'll try to get it together for mom and dad. I didn't want to disappoint my mom and dad. I had good mom and dad. And I didn't want to disappoint them. I bet you guys, y'all don't want to disappoint y'all's mom and dad. People y'all don't want to disappoint. And I didn't want to disappoint them, so I tried to do good. But the thing is, even when we're trying to, and a lot of times we'll try to do better for God because we don't want to disappoint God. But the issue with that is it always leaves us short because we cannot do it on our own. And so, you know, me and Lori, we dated for 3 years. We got married, and man, we got plugged into church. We both grew up in church. But we got plugged into church. We started, you know, trying to do church life with church people. And, you know, it was good, but they were like us. They had a relationship with this. But I really wasn't around anybody that was just so deep with kingdom living. So deep in relationship with God, with Yahweh. In a place of abiding, in a place of trust, in a place of rest. And so when I was about 24 years old, in about 86, we were in church one Sunday, and man, I got arrested by the Holy Ghost. I absolutely got wrecked. And I hadn't been, you know, out sinning and doing all this stuff. Man, I was living a good life and all of that stuff. You know, what the world would say, good life. Well, even what, to a certain extent, what the Bible would say, living a pretty good life. But I got absolutely arrested by the Holy Ghost. And He told me, He's like, man, you're not in relationship with me. You don't know me. You know my Bible. You know my commandments. And I'm not talking about just the Ten Commandments. You know my commandments, but you don't know me. You know principles. You know stories. And all of them are true and all of them are relevant. But there's something that's lacking. And that's true relationship with me. And I couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up. I mean, I can't tell you a word he preached. I just tell you how I felt. And so, man, as soon as the altar call hit, I was down there, man. I was burning it up. Just so happened they were having baptism that day. I didn't carry any clothes to get baptized because I didn't even have any, you know, I didn't even, you know, wasn't even planning on getting saved that day. I thought I already was saved, you know, or at least part of me thought I was already saved. And, man, I gave my heart to the Lord that day. Absolutely gave my heart to the Lord that day. And when I gave it to Him, I gave it to Him in such a way that it was impossible for me to ever take it back. And I think that's a defining thing. Because what a lot of times what we'll do, man, is we'll come in and we'll say yes to the Lord, but we don't give Him. We'll try to give Him our best, but we'll withhold maybe the other, the worst. And we'll say, man, when I get this cleaned up, then I'll give that to Him. And the thing about it is He wants all of us. He doesn't want our best. He wants all of us. He didn't want the good parts of you. He wants all of us. And that was kind of the defining thing, is I just came in and I gave my heart to Him. I gave myself to Him. And when I did that, Lori had, she was really saved. And, man, she was the best part of me at that time and everything. And man, she knew the Lord. And I don't know why she wasn't in a perfect relationship, or she wouldn't have started dating me. She was kind of missionary dating, I guess you'd say. But she liked my short tennis shorts, you know, when I played tennis, so that was it. But we came in and we did it together. And we totally gave ourselves to the Lord and gave our lives to the Lord. And one thing that I see with people today is they come in and they wanna play around in it. And it's not that they're sincere, and it's not that they don't want to live a good life and all of that stuff, but they stop short of just totally coming in and jumping off the cliff and saying, God, this is it. And if I fall, I fall into Your arms. And if I fly, then I fly. I know that's kind of corny, but it's reality. And, I think about Peter in Matthew 14. And, the story in Matthew 14 is where Peter walked on water. Are y'all a little bit familiar with that story where Peter walked on water? Well, Jesus sent the disciples across the sea, and He had went up to pray with the Father and spend time with the Father. And it says that a great storm came up, and the disciples started freaking out because they're in the middle of the sea on a small boat. And, it must have been pretty bad, because some of these guys were professional fishermen in their former life. And if you're a professional fisherman, you've been in some junk. You know, you've been seasick before. You've handled some stuff. And the guys are kind of freaking out. All of them are. And Jesus, all of a sudden, they see Him start walking by on the water to the other side to where He was going to meet them. And, then they really freak out because they think it might be a spirit. And then He's like, man, what is this? Is this a Lord? Is this a spirit? What's going on? And all this. And Jesus said, don't be fearful. That I'm here. I'm close by. And Peter, he said, Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. He said, if it's You, bid me to come. And He said, come. And I think one of the healthiest things that we can do as believers, or as potential believers, or wannabe believers, or somebody that's just coming into it, is we can come to the Lord and say, God, if this is You, then invite me in. If this is You that's drawing me, if this is You that's stirring me. So some of you guys tonight, as I share this, and we're going to get in the Word in a minute, and as I share this, there's going to be a stirring in you, and there's going to be a drawing in you, and there's going to be that tug in you and everything. And the best thing you can do is you can say, Lord, if this is You, then invite me in. Lord, if this is You, then I want to come into that. And that doesn't intimidate Him, and it doesn't make Him mad. He wants that honest response. The Word says that He tells us to come to Him as little children with childlike faith. Little kids don't have it figured out. They don't have much of anything figured out. Other than the fact that they feel like they can trust their mother and father. They can trust their Poppy and their Gigi. They got figured out that this is a safe place. This is supposed to be a safe place. That they come in here and they feel love and all of that stuff. And so He tells us to come to Him as little children. And so Peter says, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. And He said, it's Me. And so Peter gets out of the boat. And he takes that leap. And he starts walking on the water. And y'all know the story. He walks on the water until all of a sudden he realizes, man, it's wavy out here. And this wind is howling out here. And he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he gets afraid, and he sinks. But what happens in that? And a lot of times we'll come in and we'll dog Peter and we'll say, man, he didn't have the faith. Or we'll prop him up big time and say, well, he's the only one who got out of the boat. I preached it both ways. But the awesome thing about it is, you know, when Peter got out and he fell, big deal. You know why it wasn't a big deal? Jesus called him. Jesus extended his hand and he lifted him up and he chided him just a little bit in a loving fatherly way. He's like, man, where's your faith at? He's like, you were doing good. And you took your eyes off of me. And a lot of times that's us, guys. We come in and we're afraid to get out and we're afraid to say yes. We're afraid to take the leap. We're afraid to give our hearts to Him. We're afraid to give our lives to Him. We want to hold on because what we do is we say, what if it doesn't turn out like I thought it was going to turn out? What if I get hurt? What if I get disappointed? What if this journey is not what I thought it was going to be? And I'm here to tell you today, guys, as a testimony. The Word says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I'm here to testify today. Today it might be just old-fashioned, you know, when I was a kid and you know, I grew up in just rural Baptist church. And sometimes we'd just have good old testimony night. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. That could be awesome. But I'm here to testify to you that if you give Him your heart and you fall, He's there to catch you. He's there to catch you. And there is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of the Father once you're in relationship with the Father. See, here's the thing. Many people never experience that love because they've never gotten in relationship with Him. They've gotten in relationship with this. And I want to challenge a lot of you guys, a lot of you victory people here today that's, man, y'all, you know, some of y'all have been Christians your whole life and all of that stuff. Are you in relationship with this? Or are you in relationship with Him? You say, brother, how can you differentiate the two? I went to West Georgia College and I was a business major. And I went 3 years. I went my freshman, sophomore, and junior year. And at the end of my junior year, I was so sick and so burnt out on theory. I had college professors standing up there teaching that had never run a business, but they were teaching me all about business. They were telling me what the textbook said. They were telling me what these principles said. They were telling me what other people said worked. Okay? And I was finally like, man, I am so done with this. And I'd really checked out. Back then we went quarters. It's different now. But you know, I had so checked out by the whatever that fall, winter, semester, quarter was, that I was kind of going through the motions. And then I got into business. And I promise you, when I immersed myself into business, I learned more about business, doing business, than I ever learned about business, somebody standing up there and teaching me principles. Now, you come in here, you're going to hear the Word. We're going to teach the Word. We're going to preach the Word. I'm about to start reading the Word, and we're going to see what Proverbs says and all of this stuff. But if all you do is ever get in relationship with this, you're going to fail because you can't do it. You can't do it apart from relationship with Him. But when you get in relationship and you say, man, you sound like you're contradicting yourself, Brother Sid. You're sitting there telling me, I can't do it if I'm in relationship with the Bible. I said, you can't do it if you're only in relationship with the Bible. But when I'm in relationship with the one that's the breath of this Word, that's when I can do it. And that's when you can do it. And so, I want to tell you, I want to come in and declare, and part of my testimony is, man, I gave my heart to the Lord. Man, Lord, we gave our lives to the Lord. We came in and we drank the Kool-Aid. Most of y'all don't know what that reference is to, but we drank the Kool-Aid, We jumped in head first. We jumped in such a way, man, we burnt the ships. You know, there wasn't no going back. And we jumped in such a way that we said, this is who we are. And it wasn't that we're Christians and we're, you know, all of this stuff and everything. It was that we came in and we so gave our hearts to God. And we're like, God, whatever that looks like. One reason that we've been ridiculously successful in relationship and life and all of that stuff is because we came in and we say, God, whatever it looks like, as long as you're breathing on it, we say yes to it. And so he's carried us down this beautiful, crazy journey. We said yes to ministry 30 years ago. This year is actually 31. So I've been doing this for 30 years. But there's a lot of people that do this that are in relationship with this more than they're in relationship with him. And you know what they're like? They're like the college professors I had at West Georgia College before it was the State University of West Georgia, just West Georgia College. They're like the professors that I had down there that they sit down there and they told me what Jim said in the book that he wrote on macroeconomics and what this guy said in the finance and all of these things and everything in the business world. Instead of coming in, you know what I love to do now? I love to sit down and talk with business people now. I love to sit down and talk with business owners. It doesn't matter what business they're in. But I love to sit down and talk with them and see what did you do that made you successful? What did you do and what are your principles that you have followed? What has been your journey in life in this business and all of that stuff? You know, I was sitting there reading an article one night this week in Forbes magazine about I'm not that smart, but I was Googling something and it carried me to that. And I was reading an article in Forbes magazine about Kim Crawford, the wine guy from New Zealand. You know, they're the number one wine in North America that's imported from New Zealand. And just talking about the business and everything that they did from a business standpoint. I didn't talk to him, but man, I loved hearing his story and his journey. And I want to tell you something, guys, as y'all are going through this and when y'all get out of the program and man, y'all start your journey of life on the next phase and all of that stuff, the Apostle Paul told people, he said, y'all follow this gospel that I've preached. Y'all follow what I've lived in front of you and you get around some people that are so genuine in their faith. They may have a title, they may not have a title. But you get around people that are so genuine in their faith and so passionate in their faith and so burning for God and have such an intense relationship. They may not be. The Word says to study and show thyself approved. And we want to study and we want to grow and we want to understand the Word. We want to be able to use the Word to help other people and to come in and all that stuff. But man, y'all get around people that are burning for God, that are burning for each other, burning in relationship, and those are the people that you need to connect with, and those are the people that you need to emulate in life. That's going to be the difference maker for you. I promise you. The big difference maker in us, I feel like, is we've learned to totally put our life in His hands. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. Because they want to come in and they want to give God their best, if you will. They want to give God this part, and compartmentalize. But they want to control this and say, I got this. I can do this. Or I just don't want to relinquish control of it. But when you come in and you totally put your life in His hands, that is the safest place you'll ever be. That is the most restful place that you will ever be. That will be the greatest place of peace that you'll ever be. And that will be the greatest place of success that you will ever find. Because He's got plans for you. He's got designs for you. And I promise you, they far exceed anything that you can imagine. They far exceed anything that's in here. Because we think this is the totality of God, and it's not. And I don't mean that disrespectful to the Word. I love the Word. The Word is the breath of God. But in the Word, He also says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that He has for us. And if eye has not seen it and ear has not heard it, then it's not contained in this yet. I believe everything in this and I trust everything in this, but it doesn't stop here. This is a launching. This is a launching. And if I can get anything to you guys about what has put us in this place, man, I just want to come in. Michael, I'm about to give you the mic, brother. Is man, it works. This isn't fluff. I don't come in here and teach this because this is my gig and this is what I do. It's a platform that God's gave me. Krista asked me and Lori, she said, man, neither one of y'all want to preach Sunday morning down in Honduras at church and all that? And I'm like, no, I'm good. Lori's like, no, I'm good. I just want to go down there and serve. I just want to go down there and feed some people and build some houses and all of that. I'll have opportunity to minister. I'm going to minister like crazy in the hospital and all that stuff. So I don't want you to think we do this because this is our position. I've nothing wrong with full-time ministry. Hear that. Nothing wrong with full-time ministry. But I don't do this because this is my day job. I do this because this is our life. We do this because this is our life. Linda Carter does this because this is her life. James gets up here and he preaches the word and he leads worship on Sunday because this is his life. And I want to tell you guys, doggone it works. And I'm not talking about the principles work. I'm talking about relationship with Him. I'm talking about relationship with Him. I want y'all to get past the point of being in relationship with this. Because I promise you what will happen is you'll try to do this and you'll fail miserably. You'll have some areas of success. And you'll have cycles to where, man, I did good for it. And I'm not even talking about addiction. I'm just talking about our sin cycles that we get in. Well, man, I ain't done that in 3 months. And then we'll get to 6 months. We're like, man, I'm doing good. I'm so much better than I used to be. But we're still not free. We just learned how to manage it better. You know, it's kind of like managing high blood pressure. I don't have to take blood pressure medicine. I want to be able to come in and be healthy and whole and be sozo. So that's not an issue in my life. And so I don't want to get out here and just ramble too much. But I want to tell you something, man. When you come in and you give your life to the Lord and you put your trust in Him, everything falls into place. Everything happens. After that, and you're always going to come up a little bit short until you do that. I'll speak that to you guys. Michaela? You know, everybody in here, you're a young man, I want you to get this right now. When you've been around us, you know we're legit. You've traveled with us. You know what happens in this and happens in this dynamic and all of that stuff. I think it's attractive to you. Isaiah, it says that we're going to be attractive to the world. But the thing is, it's not because I've learned and studied the Word and I'm sharp in the Word and all that. It's because I've got a ridiculously good relationship with Him. That I married myself to Him. And you know what He did? He turned right back around and He married Himself to me. He married Himself to us. And it goes beyond His kiss on us. It goes beyond that. Let me give this to Michael and then
My history with God is not 30 years deep, you know, but I'm making history with God. So in this history making, number one, all my hope is in Him. You know, I have no other way. There's no other way. I also know that. He's the one. It wasn't like I voluntarily said, okay, I think I've had enough. I'm going to go follow God. It wasn't like that. He had to snatch me out from where I was. I also know that. And He's shown Himself faithful to me up to this point. In knowing all of that, you know, the hardest thing for me, I was talking to Ryan today, the hardest thing for me is to still, on the verge of tears, saying, is this as far as you're going to go? You know, there's a part of me that says, okay, maybe I'm not deserving, so maybe this is as far as he's going to go. This is, even though he brought me from all of that, a lot of good things are happening right now as we speak. And then there's a couple things that are, that I'm praying for, and the big things, you know, life-changing things that I'm hoping for God for, you know. So so for you to stand, for somebody like you to stand and say, kingdom life works. As I could write that on my heart, you know, I could keep telling, you know what, it works, just keep going. So the relationship I get with God also comes from what I see from other people. Okay, you're like that, huh? I don't know that yet. You know? I don't know that yet. I know this much. I can share what I know with somebody else, you know? But, and then also when I hear somebody that's walked with him longer, okay, I'm going to keep going until I know that as well, you know? Peter, and I always think about it like, it's not like he got out the boat and fell in the water. He didn't. I wish I could have seen his face when he first took the first couple of steps. Like, it's happening, you know? Because it doesn't say he got in and fell in, you know? So I have that also. You know, I have eyes wide open, still with joy. Everything inside of me is saying, yeah, he got this. And then something else will come in a couple of days later, and then I'm like, oh, gosh, is this really as far as you're going to go? So I just wanted to share that, and it helps me to hear kingdom works, and it helps me to say, you know, I've been in this 30 years. And so.
The thing we have to understand is God is not in this ridiculous hurry. God is in this for we're in eternity right now. My eternal relationship with him started experientially the day I got saved. And it's going to continue without end. So we compartmentalize this stuff and say it's going to be here and it's going to be here and it's going to be here. And it's fluid. Okay? It's fluid. And one thing that I like what Michael said, or one, several things, but one thing that really jumped out at me was he was talking about, you know, that we will, somebody like me can testify, and he says, well, I don't know that yet, but I know that I will. I didn't know what being a grandfather was like until 8 years ago. I had seen grandfathers. I'd been around grandfathers. My dad was an amazing grandfather to my children. But I didn't know what it was like until this fluid journey got me to that point in life. And that's kind of what I want to get out here tonight, is that whatever season we're in, it's just this crazy thing of a yes. It's a crazy thing of trust. It's a crazy thing of, I look back on our marriage and, you know, we were just as in love back then as we are now. But we didn't know how to love back then like we know how to love now. Does that make sense to anybody? It's not that you're gonna, you know, all of a sudden, man, I love God more now than I, you know, than I did 10 years ago. I love God different. I know how to love Him different now, because now I'm in these places. I can see these things. I can look back on the journey. I can see His faithfulness. I can see His steadfastness. I can see His hand. I can see His absolute, man. You talking about we won't get out of the boat. He got out of the boat for us, guys. Big time. Big time. And we talk about, you know, we ask, you know, well, I married myself to him and he in turn married himself to us. Well, maybe he married himself to me and me and I in turn married myself to him. You know, the word says we love him because he first loved us.
I'm glad you shared first. We all have times when we don't know if it's going to work. That's why this meeting here tonight is so important, that we are spurring each other on in the faith. That's why we have to build each other up. That's what we're here for, is to build each other up. We wouldn't have made it had we not had a body of people around us, our life, to spur us on and to lift us up and say, it works, you can do it. We've had others go before us to show us it works and you can do it. But God gave me a good analogy, what Sydney's talking about, the difference in the Word and in knowing the Father. And I was listening to a lady today from Bethel at the Wonder Conference, and she had three older teenagers and one younger child. And they've been married about 20 years, and I can't remember her name. She's a real well-known speaker and all. But anyway, she said God started prompting her they were going to adopt. And so she said, well, we got both be on board, and they waited, and you've heard it, didn't you? And anyway, long story short, they adopted a little girl from China who's 5 years old with Down syndrome. And Sharon can tell us this. When you adopt someone into your home, she said, even though I had three and four teenagers in the house that could have helped me, God told me to shut down for 9 months. No speaking, no traveling, no anything. Be home for 9 months. All this little girl's known is the orphanage and the people coming and going. She's never known a mom. She's never known a dad. So when she gets here, you have to be the primary one to feed her. You have to be the primary one to take her to bed. You're the one to bathe her. You're the one to brush her teeth. And in that way, if you're not, the other kids can play with her, but they can't do anything that's going to give life-sustaining sustenance to that child. That's the only way she'll learn you as mother and father. It has to come directly from you for a long period of time. I think she said 6 months. 6 to months is what they have to imprint on for this little girl to understand mama, and they named her Joy. So it was 7 months I went by, and she finally said mama. And Joy, she got it. But she said, all this time, my kids couldn't help. They played with her. They did all these things. But I had to be the one to give her all that life. And that's what it is with Father God. When we get saved, He has to be the one that nourishes us. We have to immerse ourselves in Father God, in Holy Spirit, in Jesus. This will lead us to Him. I love this. I read the Proverbs every day of the week. Whatever the day is, I read that Proverbs just to get my morning started. Because I love the Word. The Word leads me to Him. But if I don't know Him, I don't understand this. He is the one that teaches us when we get in the Word. So we have to have, sometimes we have an orphan spirit. We don't know who Father is because we've never took that time to let Him feed us and nourish us. So while you guys are there, it's the greatest opportunity. You have this time to say, Father God, this is for me and you. This is our time together. And then I promise you, do that, you will get in this Word and it will become alive to you. Now, there's not, sometimes I'll read it and read it and I'm like, I'm not getting anything. And I'll say, well, just keep reading until you do. That's all. Okay. I can do that. I just love that analogy of what you're saying tonight, is that we have to know Him as who our Father is and lay aside that orphan spirit and lay it aside. And then this, He's not negating this. I promise you, my husband, he studies it more than anybody. He's in this Word. He loves it. But he also knows you've got to have Him first to understand this. Amen.
I love that about that it had to be mom and daddy. And it couldn't be the siblings. It couldn't be the family members. It couldn't be the, you know, I'm sure that they were in a church body, church community and all of that. And all the church would just embrace. And just like our kids, all of y'all's kids and my kids, you know, y'all want to, man, they run around. And I love that fact that it's safe and it's full of love. It's full of encouragement. It's full of, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses and all that. But if we do not have the Father revelation and understanding, if we do not have the Father relationship, and the fact that we're the bride of Christ, how many of y'all, if you have been in church any amount of time, you have had people that you put a lot of weight in, a lot of confidence in, a lot of admiration in, and all of that stuff. You've seen them fall away from the Lord. We have, haven't we? We have. How bad did that knock you when that happened? I remember a guy that I used to work with. And his lifeline to Christianity was Jimmy Swaggart. He listened to Jimmy Swaggart every week. Some of y'all know who Jimmy Swaggart is. He listened to Jimmy Swaggart every week. And, you know, in his mind, everybody else around here was a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I was a hypocrite. Everybody around here was hypocrites except for Jimmy Swaggart. But when Jimmy Swaggart stumbled and fell into sin, into immorality, it so devastated him. He was like, if I can't trust him, I can't trust anybody. And the problem with him was he was being sustained by a sibling. In our history with God and our 30-something years in ministry, I've had so many people come and go. I've had people, you know, we've seen it. I ain't gonna say we've seen it all, but we've seen a lot. And there are people that you think you're gonna do life with, and then all of a sudden they're gone and you're not doing life with them anymore. They're not even doing kingdom life anymore. But I want to tell you something. In all of those years and all of those times, it has never caused us to waver in who we are in Christ. You know why? Because we fell in love and we put our trust in Him. Our relationship is with Him. Our walk is with Him. And it hurt. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. But it doesn't change what we do. That's the thing. It doesn't change who we are, and it doesn't change what we do. And I'll be honest with y'all. Every one of y'all could flip us off and be gone tomorrow. And you know what I'm going to do? Please don't. I don't want you to. I want to do life with you. You know, don't flick me off, okay, and say, I'm out of here. But if you did, next week, you know what? We're still good. We're still doing kingdom life. We're still doing kingdom life. We're still in relationship with Him. We're still blessed by Him. We're still called by Him. We're still doing it. I love Joshua's, you know, declaration and question and statement to the children of Israel. He said, man, y'all choose today. Y'all choose who y'all gonna serve, but I tell you what me and my house gonna do. We're going to serve the Lord because we're in relationship with Him. And it goes deeper than the law of Moses. See, that was the difference in the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus and all that. They were always wanting to talk about the law of Moses and law of Moses. And we know who Moses was. Moses would talk with God and all that stuff. And instead of being in love with all of that, Jesus wasn't disrespecting that. But He's like, man, there's one greater than Moses standing in front of you. So I want to say that, and I keep coming back to this, kingdom life works. But if this is all you're in relationship with, you're going to struggle. And if church is all you're relationship with, you're going to struggle. They're beautiful things. And they'll take us to Him. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's Him. And it's absolute trust. And it's absolute falling into Him. And I'll tell you something. What time is it? I got a few minutes. Oh, I got 8 minutes. We're good. I'm going to get to read this proverb. When you do that, then all these things that we struggle with stop becoming an issue. I don't have to make a conscious effort to treat her good, Michaela. It naturally comes out of me. Because I'm in this love relationship with her. So it's not a thing like I gotta put on my A game today. I gotta put my best foot forward. and all that. I carried her to a real cool restaurant last night over in Highlands area, and we had a wonderful evening, and it was really good, and just some amazing food and all of that stuff. But it wasn't that I put on my best for her and wowed her one night, because, you know, I cooked hamburgers on the grill Sunday night, and it was pretty doggone amazing too. The food wasn't near as good. But you know what I'm saying on that? Just a desire to bless her and to love her and to minister to her and all that. It naturally comes out. I won't have to convince you to do all of these things when you're really in love with him. It becomes who you are. Let me read this right quick. So y'all can say, see, I didn't even read any scripture tonight. I'm reading Proverbs 3 out of the Passion Translation. Solomon wrote most of Proverbs. And he says in verse 1, he said, "My child, my son, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things that I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you, then you'll have a full, rewarding life." Two things I underlined in those first two verses is satisfying life and rewarding life. What do you want? Satisfying and rewarding. That's two things you'll have. He says, follow these truths that I've given you. Follow these principles and all of this. And it's going to go deeper than this, though. It says, hold on to loyal love and don't let go. Be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with truth written upon your heart. Randy Phillips got married a few months ago, and man, I've known Randy her whole life. I've been her pastor her whole life. And when her and Tim got engaged and all of that, and they said, "Do you want to do marriage counseling and all of this stuff?" And I said, "Man, I'll do whatever you guys want to do." I said, "We definitely need to sit down and do wedding planning together, the ceremony and all that." But I told her something. Listen, this is important. I said, "Randy, I've been giving you marriage counseling your whole life, because you've been sitting under my teaching and under my preaching your whole life. And when you have men and women of God in your life that are releasing truth and releasing life into you, it does not take the place of God." But Michaela, you're not engaged. I don't even know if you date anybody right now or anything like that. But one of these days when you get married and all that, and you'll be like, "You've been getting marriage counseling your whole life." See what I'm saying in this? And Solomon said, "Don't forget all the stuff that I've been teaching you. Don't forget the stuff that you saw in the Word. Don't forget all of this." He said, "Hold on to loyal love and don't let go. Be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men. You will gain the reputation of living life well." And I've got some notes on that that's cool about Isaiah 60 before men and the book of Job before God. The other day the Lord had me in the book of Job, and I was spending some time in there and all of that stuff. And you remember God came before Satan, or Satan was coming before God, but God told Satan, he said, "Have you considered Job?" He had that reputation before the Lord. He had that reputation because in an inferior covenant, he had put all of his trust in the Lord. And the Lord said, "That's it." Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord completely." That's the whole of everything that we said. When you give your heart to Him, you know what you're doing? You're saying, that is the ultimate vulnerability. It's when you come in and you say, because in that giving your heart, the quickest way that I could kill you, if your heart was exposed, all it would take is just the tiniest thing to penetrate that in the wrong way. You're vulnerable, you're dead. And we come in and we're so fearful to give the Lord everything. That's kind of what I want to tell y'all tonight, is it's safe to trust the Lord. That's safe. I'm not saying you're not going to go through hurt. I'm not saying you're not going to go through pain. I'm not saying you're not going to go through disappointment. I'm not saying you're not going to go through trials. We have gone through all of those. We've gone through all of those. But in the midst of every one of those, looking back right now, there has never been a day when He wasn't right there carrying me. There's never been a day when I wasn't in His hand. Never been a day. We've lost loved ones. We've had miscarriage. Aaliyah's had two miscarriages. We've prayed for people that we thought were going to be healed, and they died, and we preached their funerals. And we're like, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. But even in the midst of that, I could still feel His peace and His hope. And I knew I was in His hands, even though I didn't understand, and even though it hurt like crazy. He is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of it. He's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. So He says, trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. I love verse 6. He says, become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. I'm going to read that one more time. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. That's what we were talking about a while ago. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes from when you adore Him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. Then you will find the healing refreshment, that's sozo right there, your body and spirit long for. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring Him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Anything that we withhold, anything that we're fearful of, worry, anxiousness, the root of all of it's a trust issue. You know the reason that people don't, he talked about money and there's some, you know the reason that the majority, vast majority of church members don't tithe? It's a trust issue. It's not that they don't understand the principle. And maybe I do need to get in here and teach on tithing some, so you do understand the principle. But you know what's a deeper problem than just understanding the principle? It's a trust issue. I don't want you to tithe because it's your duty. I just want you to say, God, everything I've got, You've given me, it's all Yours. How much you want? I personally think 10% is a ridiculously low place to stop. You know why we struggle with generosity? It's a trust issue. Because I got to worry about my 401k. I got to worry about this and I got to worry about that. But when we fall in love with Him, man, there's so much that He wants to pour in us and through us that we become, I believe, ridiculously generous. I can usually tell where I'm at with the Lord by the level of generosity that I walk in. And you know what generosity is? It's not a character trait. Generosity is a trust thing that I've learned to trust Him. Same thing with time. Same thing with love. Same thing with opening myself up. So I just want you to encourage you tonight. We're standing to our feet. I'm done. I know this was kind of a lame teaching, but I hope it did something deeper than just teaching. Because I can expositorily teach that Proverbs if y'all want me to. But none of it's... Let me rephrase that. It's minimized if you don't give him your heart. He said to learn and study and don't forget what I taught you. Michaela, you can practice. I'll pick on you because you're young and you're on the front row and all this stuff. You can practice every principle that I've laid before you, and you know what? You'll be successful. You will. You'll be successful. Just the principles that I've taught you out of the Word of God. You'll be a successful young lady, and you can have a solid marriage, and you can have a solid family life, and you can do all that just by following the principles. But when you come in and you so fall in love with Him, and it goes way beyond what Brother Sid said, the fact that you look to me and all of that, and you imprint with the Father, and you fall into that place of absolute trust and absolute abandonment in relationship, then you go from having a good life to having an extraordinary life. You go from having a life well lived to having an Isaiah 60 life that says that the light of the Lord will shine upon you and shine through you, and all of the nations will be attracted to you, not because you've got it going on. I meet a lot of heathens that have got it going on in a lot of areas. They're successful in business. They're successful in relationship. They're successful in a lot of areas. But you know what they don't have? They don't have the light of the Lord shining in them and through them. And that they don't have the peace. They don't have the joy. They don't have the hope. And most of them I find, they know it. They know something's missing. That's where we're supposed to step up. But you know what's not missing? Let me teach you some biblical principles. That's not what they need. They need to realize that there is a Heavenly Father, and He loves you, and He desires a relationship with you. He desires relationship with you. That's what they're looking for. I can't teach them about business. They're richer than I am. They're more successful than I am. But I can teach them about in Him relationship. That's the intangible. That, I'll finish with this statement. That is the one thing that you need to sell everything to attain. Y'all know what I mean by selling everything to attain? Anything that I am holding on to, because I feel like this does this to me, for me, in me, through me, and all of that stuff, that's not Him. The one thing that I need to sell everything for to attain, that I'm willing to release everything for to get, that's intimate relationship with Him. And that proverb, he said, give yourself to intimacy. And if I do that, I'm like Job. And if I lose it all, but I'm in relationship with Him, I can get it all back on the backside and then some. Cool thing about Job is he doubled everything. Kind of makes me think about double for your trouble in Isaiah 61. Huh? Because he said, none of that's as important as Him. Even his wife, curse God and die. Just curse God and die. You done got health issues now. You lost everything, now you got health issues. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. You can have it all, just give me Jesus. That's it. No truer words can we say, Linda Carter. You can have it all, just give me Him. Just give me Him. Give me Him. And I will walk in some homes next week. That we will think, oh my gosh, the levels of poverty. But they will be richer than 90% of church members in the United States of America. Because they're like, you can have it all, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. We can learn from them. We can learn from that. So, I bless y'all with that tonight. Let's take communion and just spend a little time with him. I went over a few minutes as usual. I semi-apologize for that. Y'all know that's a faint apology. Jeffrey, you want to start some worship music? Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the peace that I feel in this house. Peace in my life. I thank you that you're trustworthy. That we can put our trust in you. We can put our lives in your hands. And whether we walk on water or whether we sink, our life's still in your hands. The answer is yes on that, both ways. And Lord, I pray that you would just draw everybody that's in here tonight, draw them to you, Lord. Draw them to you. That they would want more than just relationship in your word. They would want more than just relationship with church. The institution of religion. That they would move beyond those things. Move beyond the inner courts and they press in for you. That with abandonment we would just say yes. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I place my life. Amen. Amen. If you want to come spend some time, have communion, I encourage you to take communion. Amen.